Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, the Bhumi Gita, text number 27. Prabhavanti yada sattve.
Prabhavanti yada sattve.
Mano buddhindriyani cha.
Mano buddhindriyani cha.
Tada krita yugam
vidyaj. Tada krita yugam
vidyaj. Jnane tapasi yadruchihi.
Jnane tapasi yadruchihi.
Prabhavanti.
Prabhavanti.
They are predominantly manifest.
They are predominantly manifest.
Yada.
Yada.
When?
When?
Sattve.
Sattve.
In the mode of goodness.
In the mode of goodness.
Manaha.
Manaha.
The mind.
The mind.
Buddhi.
Buddhi.
Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Indriyani.
Indriyani.
Senses.
Senses.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And
tada.
Then
Kṛta Yugam.
The age of Kṛta.
Vidyat.
Should be understood.
Jñāne. In knowledge. Tapasī.
And austerity.
Yat.
When.
Ruchihi.
Pleasure.
When the mind, intelligence and senses are solidly fixed in the mode of goodness, that time should be understood as such a yuga, the age of truth. People then take pleasure in knowledge and austerity. Purport. The word kṛta means performed or executed. Thus, in the age of truth, all religious duties are duly performed and people take great pleasure in spiritual knowledge and austerity. Even in the Kali Yuga, those who are situated in the mode of goodness take pleasure in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge and the regulated performance of austerity. This sublime state of existence is possible for one who has conquered sex desire. Om Mahajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shulakaya Chakshurun Militam Tena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langhayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So we've in the previous verse it's been discussed how each yuga is identified by its qualities. The material energy is influenced by the or is made up of the three modes of material nature. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, or goodness, passion and ignorance. And each of those modes of material nature has its attendant characteristics or qualities. And the living entity in conditioned existence is influenced by those three modes of nature. The characteristic of Satya Yuga, and we have the cycle Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, wherein in the Kṛta Yuga or in the Satya Yuga, the mode of material nature which is most prominent is the mode of goodness. And as Prabhupada explains, that the process of cycling within the yugas, four yugas is called a Divya Yuga. That's a full cycle. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. So, in a Satya Yuga, it's described that, I just mentioned here, people in general are influenced solely. Prabhavanti, the word here, Prabhavanti, means they are predominantly manifest. Yada, Sattva. And this is how we understand the Satya Yuga. By the influence of the material energy and the predominance of the different modes of material nature. So we see in the Satya Yuga the predominant characteristic is goodness. And, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, in the description of the Brahmana, the characteristics of goodness. Samo dumas tapas cham kanti apajitane cha jnanam vijnanam astityam brahma jama sabama sabama jama. Sense control, equanimity, samo dumas tapa, performance of austerities. In this verse it mentions jnane tapas. Jnane tapasi yad ruchi. Ruchi means pleasure or some taste, some affinity for, affection for, attraction to. The cultivation of knowledge and the performance of austerities. Jnane tapasi yad ruchi. This is a symptom of Kriti Yuga. And you know, there are descriptions of how people live for, you know, as a result of this mode of goodness, that people could live for 100,000 years. Imagine that. Living for 100,000 years. You know, in the Kali Yuga you get an opportunity to live for 100 years, but most of us probably be happy not to live that long, because it's just, most of it is suffering. But it's unimaginable for us to, impossible for us to conceive living for 100,000 years. But that's the result of samo dhammas tapaso cham, you know, living according to these principles of goodness. And in the previous verse, the Bhagavatam mentions and is explained in the purport how, whilst each yuga has its predominant characteristics, still at certain times or at different times, even within the various yugas, there may be a reverse current or an influence that is contrary to or appears to contradict the general trend. And so therefore, you know, even within the Satya Yuga we might find demons appearing who personify the opposite, the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion and ignorance. So even within the yugas, and it just like a river flows, just like near Mayapur at the moment, the Ganga flows, or the arm of the Ganga, which is called the Bhagirathi, and in the river's always changing. So on the ISKCON side of the river now is very, the river flows very fast. But there are places where the water comes in, but then it turns around and appears to flow backwards against the current of the river itself. So if you were swimming in that place, the river would actually take you in the opposite direction. So just like that, the whirls and the currents, the eddies, if you like, of the different yugas create sometimes situations where the trend, the ordinary trend or the regular trend, the usual trend of influence is counteracted, or is the trend is bucked, if you like. And so we see in such a yuga where in principles of religiosity are practiced at the highest level of achievement and performance, still demons appear. Or we see in Kali Yuga, where most everybody is, you know, predominantly influenced by the modes of material nature in the lower modes rather than the mode of goodness, we see the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance predominant. And so you see then a rise of, you know, predominantly asuric. Well, what are the four types of people who don't surrender to Krishna? What's the first called? Huh? And that's the people who do surrender. They're the pious. What's the first type of impious person that doesn't surrender? Mudha, grossly foolish. What's the animal that personifies the mudha?
Donkey.
Yeah. Huh? Donkey, beast of burden, works hard all day. The fear of being beaten by his master just to get some grass, not knowing that the grass is easily readily available on any corner or side of the road. And you know, usually Prabhupada points out, too busy to take the spiritual life. The characteristics of Satya Yuga are that, practically speaking, everybody is engaged in the practice of devotional service or self-realization. The yuga dharma is meditation. So, you know, very exalted, very elevated personality. Everybody understands the, you know, the following of regulated principles is just a natural. Is a natural activity. People don't have to be told to do these things, that's what you do. They don't have to learn how to do it. It's just, that's what human beings do. In this day and age, human beings represent more animals than human beings. What they call dvipada pashu, which means two-legged animals. Satya Yuga, the focus is on self-realization. That's just a natural consequence of, or it's part of existence. Whereas in the Kali Yuga, existence is based on a gross understanding of what it means to be successful. So they're the mudhas who labour, Prabhupada says, under their self-created duties. Without an understanding of what the real goal of life is, or should or could be. If you get an opportunity to watch the television, which I don't recommend, but if you do happen to get an opportunity, you know, it's football or drag racing. You know, this is the activities of the mudhas. Being promoted by Hungry Jacks, McDonald's, Toyota motor cars, oh what a feeling. I never seen anybody jumping up and down just because they got a Toyota. Something you only see on the television. Yeah, people think, yeah, this is the goal of life. And when they're approached, you know, to take advantage of spiritual understanding, spiritual practice, which can really make them happy, and they're too busy. Not enough time. This is a mudha. So, mudhas. What, who's next? Oh, that's right, yeah, the Naradhamma. Adhamma. They're human beings, but, and in a polished way, have culture, music, art, dance. And so, therefore, civilized societies. Many mudhas, but also the intellectuals and the upper echelon of society. But again, caught up in simply polished animal life and reluctant to surrender. And Amaya Parita Jnanas, those whose knowledge, they're very learned and knowledgeable, but again, no understanding of the real purpose of life. Simply more animal behaviour, accumulation of material things which ultimately don't make us happy. In fact, those material things are more likely to make us frustrated. You know, there's the temporary happiness of acquisition, but then the frustration of dissatisfaction that comes with anything material. Pleasure is relative. You know, the example that Prabhupada gives of how pleasure is relative. On Diwali, everybody likes to eat sweets, have a party. But the next day, they've got sore teeth, so they're paining. And then they have to go to the dentist, and the dentist is happy. They're miserable, and the dentist is happy. So that the pleasure is relative to your situation, and it changes. Everybody, that you're happy eating the sweets, but then the result of that is misery. But then that becomes somebody else's pleasure. Whereas if one focuses on self-realization and understanding one's spiritual identity, then the natural pleasure that comes as a result of identifying with who we really are, rather than this limited and temporary form, is a happiness that actually endures. It's the real happiness. So the mudhas, the naradhamma, the maya parita jnana, and of course also the asura, those who are just opposed to Krishna, to God, the demons, they're just outright opposed. So we see in the Kali Yuga a predominance of these Dushkritina, people who are in a Satya Yuga. We find everybody pretty much is involved in activities of goodness and surrender, different stages of surrender. But in the Kali Yuga we find out, practically speaking, there's a process of surrender, but basically it's the process of surrender 100% wholeheartedly to Maya. Basically, that's what it is. There's no understanding of, there's no even understanding of Maya, basically. That's reality. But as is mentioned in the previous verse, there, even though the trend of the age may be in a particular direction, like in Satya Yuga, but then we get the demons. So in Kali Yuga, it's the age of the demons, practically speaking. It's the age of so many faults. We've just been reading a list of. Have we actually got to the list of faults? The faults start. Yeah, no, this is the chapter that we're on. Kali Yuga, here we go. When there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth. What's sloth? Laziness, yes, sloth.
I can't do it, it's too hard. I'll just go to sleep.
We got an extra hour of sleeping today. Sleepiness, violence, a lot of violence. You know, the big concern is violence in the city, especially at night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, when people should be actually going to Mangalarti, but they're coming out of they're coming out of the nightclubs, and then what do? You know, fight. And you know, just amazing stories of violence. Then depression. Sound familiar? Depression. Lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty. That age is Kali, the age of the mode of ignorance. Because of the bad qualities of the age of Kali, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. The women becoming unchaste will freely wander from one man to the next. And of course, the men are taking advantage, so they're no better. Cities will be dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretations of atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens. And the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. Heavy stuff. The brahmacharis will fail to execute their vows and become generally unclean. The householders will become beggars. The vanaprasthas will live in the villages. Where are the vanaprasthas supposed to live? In the forest. Now they're living in the villages. And the sannyasis will become greedy for wealth. Women will become much smaller in size and they will eat too much, have more children than they can properly take care of, and lose all shyness. They will always speak harshly and will exhibit qualities of thievery, deceit, and unrestrained audacity. Businessmen will engage in petty commerce and earn their money by cheating. Even when there is no emergency, people will consider any degraded occupation quite acceptable. And we can go on. There's more. And there's purports too, which I'm not reading, obviously. So this is, we've got Kali Yuga's coming up. Actually, Kali Yuga's not coming up. Kali Yuga's here and we're living in it. But, as is pointed out here, despite the fact that there's the tendency or the trend to degradation and ignorance or disdain for spiritual life, at the same time there can be an eddy, or the trend can be bucked the trend. So even though there's all of these disqualifications, we find persons who are actually inclined and who take pleasure in, inclined to and who take pleasure in the cultivation of goodness, even in Kali Yuga. As mentioned here, even in the Kali Yuga, those who are situated in the mode of goodness take pleasure in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, even it may be difficult. And it is difficult in one sense, because the whole of society and the whole mood of the culture is moving in one direction. This is one of the reasons why it's difficult for those who are attracted to and who become attached to spiritual and devotional life, because the general trend is, let's move in a downward direction. But just as the Ganga travels very swiftly, but then in certain parts of the river it turns into a whirlpool, and the whirlpool then goes in the opposite direction. So Prabhupada told us that in the Kali Yuga, especially after the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would herald the beginning of a period in which spiritual culture would again become dominant. Well, certainly there are those who attracted to the processes of the process of devotional service, and especially the chanting of Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar who promotes the Yuga Dharma. Then after his appearance, then the general trend of Kali is seen as being bucked by the performance of Sankirtan. You know, Prabhupada told a story of how I'm not sure who's actually told this story, but there's a story of how Prabhupada was with his godbrothers in Calcutta, and there was some debate or discussion as to how the prediction of Lord Chaitanya's would be fulfilled. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur encouraged his disciples to go and preach. Still, Prabhupada wasn't the only, but in fact it was a common instruction. Not a common instruction, but certainly Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur encouraged his senior sannyasi disciples to preach in the West. And he sent a number of sannyasis to countries outside of India. There was where's Rangoon?
Burma.
Yeah, he sent. So they were preaching in Burma. But he also sent. They also went to Germany, and they also went to England. But they weren't successful. They eventually came back. But we can see Srila Prabhupada took the order of his spiritual master seriously, and as a result of his faith in the instructions of his spiritual master, and because of his determination to fulfill the order of his guru, then Srila Prabhupada, like Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's mercy, was able to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. Previously, Krishna consciousness was something practiced in India and unheard of, unknown to the West, basically. Prabhupada was asked, why he chose New York as opposed to a place like London, and he said, might as well fail in New York. It's a big city, a big place. But he got an opportunity, and he took it. And as a result of his dedicated and sincere preaching, then he attracted like-minded people. Interestingly enough, not from the high class sections of society, but from the hippies, I guess you could say. Of course, it would be foolish to think of the devotees as just being, we shouldn't think of devotees in terms of their material background or qualifications. That's offensive. But we can see how, on the Bowery or on the Lower East Side, which pretty much was the full manifestation of the modes of passion and predominantly ignorance in those places, still there were people who, when exposed to Krishna consciousness, then they were attracted. And Srila Prabhupada was able to then establish the Krishna consciousness movement. If you read everybody in Mayapur at the GBC meetings was reading Mukunda Maharaj's new book. In fact, people, devotees were getting sick, and then they were staying in their rooms and reading the book. They said, we're fortunate to get sick, so we had to stay in our room and read Mukunda Maharaj's book. But it's very interesting how Mukunda Maharaj really was at the cutting edge of preaching in ISKCON in the early years. He established the first he and Shyamasundara and their wives established the temple in San Francisco, and then later on went to London and established the temple in London there against, you know, fairly significant odds, and not opposition but just general malaise. And interesting to read in his biography how he was very innovative in his preaching, very, very tuned in to using modern media, using the radio, using the television. Their determination was, when they went to London, was to meet the Beatles. And it's interesting when he was in San Francisco, he read an article that George Harrison had written, so he wrote him a letter. He wrote George Harrison a letter explaining, you know, the spiritual perspective and the actual spiritual perspective on the particular topic. He sent that letter to George Harrison and didn't get any response. But when he met George Harrison, he told him, "My name's Mukunda," and he said, "Oh, Mukunda, you wrote me a letter." So, you know, he was quite bold in his preaching. And of course, as a result of meeting the Beatles and George Harrison's participation, then we have the Govindam prayers that we chant every morning, and they also recorded the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra became a significant hit, if you like. So in that way, you know, the Maha Mantra was broadcast all over the planet, basically, by the dynamic preaching of Prabhupada's household of disciples. In fact, Prabhupada was very, very proud of the achievements of those devotees, because they were able to do what his sannyasi godbrothers weren't able to do. And of course, a number of those sannyasi godbrothers criticised Prabhupada for his watering down, if you like, the culture. Prabhupada was criticised, but he was also able to, you know, demonstrate by his book distribution, by his opening of temples, by his making of devotees, that his vision and his understanding of the instructions of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and understanding of Lord Chaitanya's mission was, you know, far surpassed anybody. So we can see, you know, even in the Kali Yuga, where everything is, you know, stacked against us, still there's this current or this eddy, this bucking of the trend, that's seeing Krishna consciousness expand. In the movement, but also expanding the hearts of the devotees, which is the most important thing, despite even the fact that there are difficulties for us as a result of the fact that we've been born in the Kali Yuga, and as a result of that we have some of these samskaras or negative impressions. Still, there's that attraction to Krishna, and that's the important thing. That's the spark. We have to fan that spark within others and within ourselves to give it a chance to ignite and flame. And that's recommended, that's why it's recommended that we try to cultivate the mode of goodness in our... Well, actually, if we engage in the regulative practice of devotional service, the regulative principle of devotional service, then automatically we come to the platform of goodness. Actually, our activities are sudha-sattva, which means they're even beyond the mode of goodness. They're in the, it's devotional service under the influence of the spiritual energy, not the material energy. What does Krishna say? Mamcha. What's the last verse in the Mamcha Yogena? Avyabhacharini Bhakti, which means devotional service without deviation. So we can stick to the process of devotional service, and Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One will overcome the material energy and be situated in the spiritual energy. This is transcendental even to the mode of goodness, but it's called sudha-sattva, purified goodness. So this is why it's recommended that if we have an attraction for devotional service, which obviously we do, then one follow the regulative principles, or the regulations, the rules and regulations of devotional service, under the guidance, under the auspices of the spiritual master, who can help us fine-tune the details so that our individuality is also taken into consideration. One of the big fears of people, you know, when they, certainly my fear when I first met the devotees was, oh, get mixed up with these guys and you lose your identity, right? In fact, I've told the story many times. When I spoke to, the first time I spoke to my mum and I said, "Mum, I'm living in the Hare Krishna temple in Melbourne." She said, "Oh, Andy, you sound like a parrot already." And I haven't said anything yet. But her big concern was, you know, I'd just become like a Hare Krishna robot. I'd lose my identity. Which is our great fear. But in devotional service, you actually realize who you are. Sometimes it's a bit of a shock to find out who we really are. But at the same time, we get an opportunity to exercise our individuality in connection with, in cooperation with, in relationship to Krishna. And that's Rupa Goswami recommends that we follow or even Krishna mentions in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that we follow the regulated principles of freedom, because by following the regulated principles of devotional service, one gets free from, one becomes absorbed and influenced then predominantly by the mode of goodness as opposed to the modes of attachment and ignorance. And one of the symptoms of the mode of goodness is that initially it may be a struggle. Right? In the beginning, it tastes like poison. Right? Mode of passion is, let's go. It tastes really, it's all good. But it turns into, nectar turns into poison in the end. Mode of ignorance is just poison in the beginning and poison in the end. Right? That you'll find in the pubs. They're drinking and thinking they're enjoying. There's even happiness in the mode of ignorance. Right? Some form of happiness. But we're looking for happiness in devotional service. And because devotional service, the basic platform is goodness, in the beginning the austerities and the regulation, it's distasteful. But in the end, it becomes like nectar. The mind and the senses, the intelligence becomes purified. As a result of that purification, then we start to realize our transcendental identity, that we're not the body, that we're Krishna Das or Dasi. And our, you know, the real ananda of our spiritual personality comes out. Our natural position, the natural position of a living entity, anandamaya abhyasat, the natural position of all of us is ananda, satchit ananda. That's our natural position. And then when we surrender to Krishna and engage in devotional service, then naturally we uncover our original ananda. In one sense, we're not looking for pleasure, but that pleasure will automatically come if one follows the basically the practice of we're practicing, but the practice is also the real thing itself. Like a mango. Prabhupada gives the example of a mango. A mango is a mango. But in its immature stage, it's unripe. And I don't know if you've ever... Well, they do make... The Fijians also do that. I guess it's common in India. But you get the unripe mango and turn it into a pickle. Right? And it's not bad. It's... Okay, a bit sour. It has its taste. But it's still a mango. But the mango is most relishable when it's ripe and, you know, juicy, sweet. So our devotional service may not be at the ripe, juicy, sweet stage at the moment. But it's still a mango. It's still relishable. You know, you can have green mango pickle and that's quite relishable, isn't it?
Chutney.
Huh?
Chutney.
Chutney. Chutney pickle. It just needs to be ripened. Huh? So our devotional service in the beginning, we may not be tasting the full ecstasy of love of Godhead every step. But in the beginning it may be a struggle. But it's a struggle that's worth all of the effort. And, you know, we see it. The trend of Kali Yuga is complete degradation. But the Krishna consciousness movement is bucking the trend. So we need to catch on to that eddy in the current of Kali Yuga and, you know, ride that wave of opportunity. And learn how to cultivate this Jnane tapasi yad ruchi. Jnane tapasi yad ruchi. Get a taste. We need to learn how to get a taste out of the cultivation of knowledge and the performance of austerity. Even though it may not be natural to us. And in the beginning may be like poison. But like poison in the beginning, but nectar in the end. Then that's, as is mentioned here, that's Satya Yuga. Only enough, the cultivation of the mode of goodness even in Kali Yuga is as good as, actually in one sense it's described how the Kali Yuga, later on it describes how the Kali Yuga is actually better than the Satya Yuga. Because in the Kriti Yuga, the meditation was more like a Brahman realization. Whereas in the Kali Yuga, even though there's so many faults, one can get prema bhakti easily. Right? This is why Lord Chaitanya is described as Namo Mahavadanyaya. Why? Krishna prema pradayate. He's giving freely Krishna prema. Even if you're not surrendered. If you engage, we see it sometimes, we're out on Harinam and people just jump into the kirtan party and start dancing and chanting with the devotees. And they're having a great, they're enjoying themselves. Because Lord Chaitanya is giving them Krishna prema. Prabhupada gives the example of how a businessman sometimes will give out free samples of their wares to catch the customers. We give out cookies. Free samples of Krishna praying. So this happens. Lord Chaitanya. It's described how the Panchatattva have plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead. And they're just giving it out freely. And that's what happens to us. We get a taste of the Krishna praying and then we want more. But then Krishna says, Sava Dhamman Pravichacha. Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. And we think, hang on, I want the easy version. Give me the easy version. Well, this is the easy version. In 100 years or less, we can go back home, back to Godhead, to the highest platform. In the Satya Yuga, 100,000 years. And in the Kali Yuga, very. So it's really a great opportunity. So it's now 7:30. Is that right? We can start class again. Anyway, it's not late. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? There is, but the example is given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction of how the chanting of Hare Krishna is sweet. Sorry? Yes, but we have, our tongues are diseased. So, if you've ever had jaundice or it's like a mild form of hepatitis, then everything sweet tastes bitter. But the cure is the sugar. Rupa Goswami gives his example. The cure for jaundice is to take the sugar candy, the sweet, but it tastes bitter. Right, so in the beginning, you take the medicine, it tastes bitter, but as the medicine cures you, your relish for sweets is regained. So it is sweet. It is nectar. But our ability to taste it is diseased. Our tongue is jaundiced. Yeah. There's some of the realizations that we have to come to, because we think, oh, I'm a great devotee, I really like chanting Hare Krishna, but then we discover, oh boy, this is so hard. And I think I prefer to be XYZ today. You put in your XYZ. So we discover from time to time that we're not as pure a devotee as we thought we were. That's the contamination. But that doesn't mean that the medicine is not effective. It just means that we're contaminated and need to keep taking the medicine. And, you know, Krishna is very kind. He removes the veil of Maya from time to time so that we can actually see who we are, and we can see him, and we can see our relationship with the devotees. So, some sincerity is required from time to time, and that's tested. Krishna's testing us basically to strengthen us, and also to make us realize the reality of material existence. We were discussing the other day, why is there tsunamis and earthquakes and other miseries in life? That's basically to remind us material existence is not where we should be. So for the devotees, occasionally there's the pinprick of material existence to remind us this is not a place to make a permanent solution. Anything else?
Prabhu, we are chanting and doing devotional service, but we always in different moods.
Different moods.
And how to fix our mood in more devotees?
Practice. Sadhana bhakti means still influenced by the modes of material nature. And one performs devotional service out of duty. Gradually, as we make progress, one becomes enthusiastic about devotional service. That natural enthusiasm awakens within the heart and within the tongue. We like to chant Hare Krishna, we like to serve, we like to associate with the devotees. So until that spontaneous, that taste, if you like, that ruchi, and then nishta or steadiness comes about, we have to follow the rules and regulations. And out of out of the purification that comes from that, then naturally the enthusiasm and spontaneous mood arises. Anatta nivritti. What comes next? Nishta, steadiness. Then after nishta comes taste. Yeah. Then after ruchi comes asakti, which means attachment. So we need to be steady enough and determined enough in the anatta nivritti stage to get to the point of nishta or steadiness. Then from steadiness will come ruchi or taste, and then from that taste comes attraction to or affection for Krishna. So, application is required. Now, was your question why or how?
Yeah, why our moods always?
Why is it? Yeah, because we're influenced. We're influenced by the modes of material nature, and we haven't got to the ruchi and ashakti stage just yet.
We're not as advanced as we thought we were, or as we would like to be. So then, you know, what qualities do we need to cultivate in order to remain steady? What qualities do we need to cultivate?
Sincerity.
Yeah, sincerity. What's manifest as a result of sincerity?
Strong faith.
Yeah. Strong faith is the beginning. Adulsrada.
Humility.
Humility, yes, humility. You know, Prabhupada says the formula is in the Sikshastikam. Trinadapi sunichena atarorapi sahishnana amanadena amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be trinadapi sunichena. What does that mean? Means to be tolerant. Trinadapi sunichena means to be tolerant and humble. Tarora piece of Vishnana, like a tree. Amanadena, manadena. Don't expect, we shouldn't expect respect for ourselves, and we should offer respect to everybody else.
Inside you don't really tolerate,
but
outside you make a show tolerance. Is that a what? Does that also count?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it all counts. Your mind may be raging, right? Which it can do, right?
But if you're not really humble, then you just act as if you're humble. You won't make it back.
Remember that this is practice. Because here's what will happen. The mind says, you should just be yourself. Don't be this false show. But then what do? You then behave in inappropriate ways. Right? That doesn't help you. I'm being honest, I'm just being myself. So, it's difficult to restrain our natural tendencies, but it's better to cultivate those good qualities than just let it all go, isn't it? Even though initially it may not be, you know, we think of ourselves in a particular way and in a way that's peculiar to our conditioning, but that is a covering of our real spiritual identity. And if we can engage in those activities and practices that brings out the spiritual person, right? Even though we are covering conditioning, says, that's not you. That's not really you. You're this out of control person, actually. That's who you really are. I'm not suggesting that you're out of control, but I'm just saying, in my case, you know, you're this 16-year-old whatever rebel, and it comes back, you know, what you did when you were growing up as a maturing adult. You think, that's who I am, man. Huh? I'm a long-haired hippie. I mean, I can't be a long-haired hippie anymore, my hair all fell out. So, you know, you got the inner demon wanting to come out. Come on, let's go, let's rage. Right? But then there's the more mature, grown up, you know, experienced person who says, hang on a second, that's not really you. That's actually the mind influenced by the mode of passion. Right? The mind influenced by the mode of passion. The senses inflamed by the mode of passion and ignorance. You know, and sometimes, if we stick to the process of devotional service, Krishna gives us the lucidity to actually see our spiritual identity
And then we see there are spiritual qualifications and spiritual characteristics of our personality that are far superior to that, you know, that dude who wants to, you know, kick out. So, you know, better to tie the dude up, keep him locked, or keep the dog in his kennel, and let the devotee manifest. So in the beginning, our material conditioning rebels against that control, right? And it says, hey, come on, that's not really you. You're really out of it. And you're being honest. And that's good. You know, we're taught to be honest. So we'll use, you know, some spiritual mechanics or logic, so-called logic, to justify our conditioned state as being our real self. But actually we haven't let... That's why the regulated principles of devotional service have to be allowed to influence us and help us control that lower self to allow the real inner devotee to blossom. And then when that personality comes out, then we're really satisfied. Everybody else is satisfied, and of course we're also satisfied, because, you know, there are many good qualities, and they're the good qualities that were attracted to the devotees in the first place, right? And they're the qualities that we want to see in, that are actually already, they exist in us. We just have to let them come out. So, you know, was it Tadmiri Maharaj mentioned the other day? Somebody mentioned. When the devotees said to Prabhupada, you know, I don't feel like bowing down. Prabhupada said, well, just bow down anyway. And then eventually you'll feel like it. And, you know, we all do it naturally. We all do it naturally, you know. Does anybody think twice about coming and bowing down before Prabhupada or before Radha Ballabha? Or maybe we do think about it, and that's when we realize, I'm still not feeling like bowing down. You know, I've been doing it for the last 30 years. Better chant Hare Krishna. Yes.
It's following on from Maharaj's question. Like she mentioned, how you could be, you're externally surrendering, but in your mind you're just mad as hell.
I would never admit it, but yeah, go on.
But it's you probably don't want to be like that when you're in front of like senior devotees or spiritual masters. So.
The mind is a madman, right? I mean, in the most inappropriate places, it'll come up with the worst thing, right? Stand on the top of the Rialto and it'll say, jump! Yeah, come on, jump! So don't be surprised what the mind will come up with. Huh? We're in association of the devotees, yet all we can see is their faults. Right? All you can see is the fault. Oh, this place, the temple, the devotees, this process, the whole thing stinks. Right? I'm being suppressed. I can't really do what I want to do. It's just the mind screaming out. And we're so habituated to being a servant of the mind. We say, oh, is that what you want? Sure, no worries. Whatever you request, your wish is my command. Right? And it'll come up with all sorts of craziness. All sorts of craziness. Most of the time, best not regurgitated or repeated or whatever. Best to be suppressed. Because it's just, it's a madman. So don't be surprised. But pray for the day when the mind is actually, you know, in a properly devotional mood. Because the mind can, and this is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, and Prabhupada points out, the mind can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You know, you'll experience, or certainly I've experienced, days where even this morning I was thinking, oh, I don't want to go and give class. I'm feeling tired. I think I'll just have another sleep. Come on, you've been working really hard. It's time to take it easy. Ring up Nanda Mandir, ring up Swarupa Shakti. But of course, when we surrender and do the right thing, then of course we feel the pleasure of being engaged in devotional service and doing what Krishna wants, what the devotees want, and ultimately what's good for us. Right? So yeah, the mind is a challenge for all of us. And that's why, you know, in the six items of devotional service, six exchanges, loving exchanges, that one is to reveal the mind confidentially and inquire confidentially, right? Because that doesn't mean we just spill every stupid thing the mind got. We have to put it in perspective, but if we have some difficulty, then we can share that with somebody who we accept as a siksha guru. Not every, you know, what happens sometimes is, you know, everybody just goes around, what, not everybody, but a person having a difficulty will go around and babble to everybody. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse instead of getting. But one is recommended, we take shelter of our siksha gurus who we accept as Krishna's representative. So that means that their instructions are as good as God. And we apply ourselves to their instructions. You know, if we're having some difficulty, we reveal our mind in confidence. Appropriately, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Right, so with following the proper etiquette. And then we can take that shelter and the instruction and again corral this crazy mind. Right? But if the mind goes crazy, what do you do? What do you do?
Out of control.
Yeah, when it's out of control, what do you do?
Shoot it.
Shoot it. What does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommend? Chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, but what does he recommend? Bang it 50 times with a shoe in the morning. And then at night, 50 times with a stick. So he doesn't say, yeah, sure, look, the mind's a problem, just give in. Right? And Krishna doesn't say that either. What does Krishna say you can control the mind with?
Practice.
Practice. Yeah, practice and detachment. So regulation, be regulated. And when the mind says, jump, say no thanks. Just ignore it. That's what happened. The mind's going to say, do it, do it, do it. Come on, do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Do it. You have to keep chanting, keep ignoring it. That's why Sankirtan is, I remember, you know, Sankirtan for me was a real lesson in detachment, especially from the mind. Because you'd be out on Sankirtan and you'd see somebody and you think, that guy's a mug. Or conversely, you'd see somebody and you'd say, ah, there's a real bhakta. And then you go up and talk to them and the real bhakta says, get out of here. Right? And a guy that you think's out of it says, yeah, sure, no worries, mate, I'll give a donation. So the mind is a real, basically a bit of a cheat. You see one situation, you think, oh, this is hopeless. I mean, many occasions I've gone into warehouses and factories and you think, oh, this is the den of Kali Yuga. And you meet real nice people there. And then you go to another place and you think, oh yeah, these guys are all fired up. And they're all a bunch of demons. So you've got to, we have to watch the mind. The mind is very, very tricky. And don't be surprised with what it comes up with. And learn to relish prasadam. That's our cure for the mad mind. Give it something to relish. And kirtan. You know, there's nothing like kirtan to soothe the heart. Right? Sitting down with the devotees and just chanting Hare Krishna. Which is what Prabhupada's given us, you know, in the morning program. There's so much kirtan opportunity to absorb ourselves in the Maha Mantra. Okay, we should finish here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Kali Yuga Ki.